Hello, good day, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Magic the First Pioneers Podcast. This Magic podcast is all about the Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. I am your host, Kevin Finkel, joined here by my co-host and two special guests.
Man, we're crazy. Hey, everybody, it's Ryan. Coming at you from the Tokyo Air of Japan in the morning. I'm very sleepy, and I think our other guests are also sleepy, so let's have our usual guest go first, and then our sometimes guest go second.
You calling him unusual?
No.
We definitely have another unusual guest, but I am Akeros, Amit. I'm also very sleepy, but for different reasons. But I'm glad to be here as usual. I'm excited. We have PTQs. We have challenge showcases. We have a lot to discuss.
And I'm back again. First time in a little while. Harry 13, I'm feeling a bit sore today. Don't know if it's heat exhaustion. Scotland is experiencing unusually warm weather, so I'm trying to enjoy it, but also have to get the reps in for the weekend and next weekend with a lot of big tournaments coming up.
Yeah, stay hydrated, everybody.
Yeah, stay hydrated.
Should always stay hydrated. Anyways, I'm just going to give us a quick introduction on the topic. So what we wanted to talk about is a nice update on the meta. You know, we haven't really done this since the start of the new season here, and we've got some interesting decks coming out. We've had some very cool things taking down challenges, some new decks showing up in the format, and we want to just get a chance to get all of you guys up to date with what's been going on the competitive side of Pioneer. So that's why we brought in two experts who play and care and win a lot more than me and Ryan do. Yeah. I'm happy to take a little bit of a backseat here, get to play the Johnny that I know deep down that I am, instead of having to play Fun Please for Ryan here. So gonna be happy to hear what you guys are thinking about the top decks in the format, as well as going over what some of the recent big tournaments have looked like.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, Kevin, I don't feel like I'm gonna have much to talk about today. I'm just gonna try to get as much information from you guys as possible, because I do want to become a better player, and hopefully some of our listeners out there also kind of want to improve their skills. So any insight you can give us, you know, the other podcasts talk about, you know, the decks, but they don't really get to, you know, pick brains and, you know, take names and whatever else, you know, you might call it. So yeah, should we get started right away?
Yeah, what do you think, good. Kevin?
Sounds pretty good. Sounds good. I think let's jump right into it. So where do you want to start here, Ryan? Direct us and we'll carry it away.
I want to talk about what decks you guys have been playing and how they've been for you so far. So you can talk about, you know, any of the decks, not just, you know, your current deck, but if you've tried out two or three decks this season, I want to hear about it.
Well, I think it's going to be just two decks here, but let's see what they've got. Yeah. I think I know what both of you are going to say here. What have you guys been playing?
Well, I've been sticking to Phoenix, because I think that deck is still very, very good. But because that, like, we talked about this before, I love the deck. I'm going to discuss it a bit later, I guess, again. But I would like to mention the new Green-White Angels deck, which is probably, in my opinion, like, the new contender for, like, Tier 1 deck. It's been performing pretty well. I think it won a challenge, top 8-ed another one, I believe. And I just kind of been like a new fresh deck in the format, and that deck is giving Phoenix some trouble, so I'm feeling in trouble here, and I need to figure out either the matchup or switch decks maybe.
So I think that's fascinating. I'm still kind of low on it, and I think that part of it's just that, you know, this isn't a new deck. We've always had green white Coco Angels as an option in the format. And if, you know, decks like Phoenix are losing to it, they're not losing to the, you know, the new addition, which is the Book of Exalted Deeds, because, you know, that doesn't add anything to the main deck. It only adds a, you know, a secondary plan.
Mm-hmm. So I do think that, one, this plan does put pressure, especially on Phoenix, since Phoenix can't actually answer a land right now. I have some ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But the pressure is fine, but I agree that the shell that is beating Phoenix existed before. But now you have ways to beat other decks. And also, just like we talked about before, Pioneer is underexplored. Someone found a deck. It's probably because of Book of Exalted Deeds, but now it's a thing, regardless of whether it should have been before or not. And that's just a new addition to the meta. So, like, just ignoring what could have been possible, this is just, like, the fact for now. And I, as a Phoenix player, have to deal with this. unfortunately.
Yeah, I think I would agree. I definitely don't think it's... I definitely think the Book of Exalted Deeds is a very strong addition to the deck because it does just give you free wins. And also, the Green White Angels deck is probably one of the best decks that can incorporate the card and get use of its secondary effect of like creating 3/3 angels. So I don't think... I think this happens often in Pioneer, right? Like, you look at the Mono White Devotion Shell last time. It was like reasonable creatures, not overly individually super powerful, had some synergy, but as soon as Heliod came out, all of a sudden you have a very, very strong deck that, you know, had to get Walking Blister banned from it because it was that good. And I think, am I saying it's on the same power level? Maybe, I don't think it's maybe slightly weaker. Just because the book doesn't apply pressure on its own like Blister did. Like, Blister was just a very good incidental, just a good card to have in your deck. Whereas, like, the book definitely comes with drawbacks and mana issues. But, no, I definitely think this is the real deal. Is it going to be... I'm not sure how good it's going to be in the long term because it's a known quantity. Like Ekros said... you might have to play, like, for example, in blue-black, I now play two Fielder Rune, didn't before. There's also that red tap land, I can't remember what it's called, that's seen some decks play.
The Hill of the Goblin King?
Oh, or
the one that destroys...
Bugbear?
No. No, it's an older land, it destroys a land, I'm sure. I think it costs 5 to activate it.
Oh, right, is it the Blighted something? Oh,
I can't remember,
might be.
Oh, okay. The blighted cycle, right?
I need to check. I'm pretty sure someone definitely played it recently and I cannot remember. I remember it's in, I think it's in Theros. No, sorry, Dominaria.
You know, I my secret deck?
Remember. Yeah. I think it's talking about now.
You wanna know what's my secret deck that I wanna try?
Yeah.
I wanna try Star of Extinction.
Oh,
or Phoenix sideboard.
Jeez, that's intense. But I mean, why not, right? Like,
what I mean, is that again? It's 7 mana. You destroy target land and then deal 20 to every creature and planeswalker on the board.
Yeah.
So that actually gets both Mutavault and like their entire board.
Okay,
Don't know about it yet, but yeah, pardon.
So it's Memorial to War. It's a red tap land. 4 in a mountain, sacrifice Memorial to War, destroy target land.
Okay.
So
I guess so.
I think that's
are we really setting that in rather than Field of Ruin though, I guess is the question.
I think Memorial to War is a little bit better for Phoenix. I'm not sure, maybe it's not. Maybe one Field of Ruin is. I think it's because of Crackle
Drake. How reasonable is it to just put Field of Ruin in your sideboard and side it in as you would side in a land? Or, sorry, side it in as you would side in a spell and not be, you know, replacing a land with it. Just when you need it, it's the best land removal in the format, even as a spell rather than as a land. Does that make any sense? Would that work?
Yeah, it does. But the thing I was looking at more so was to replace one of the spike field hazards with the Memorial to War. So essentially... Okay, you have one less spell, but like it's a tapped red land that comes in that you're already playing in the deck, and then it's just the tech you need. If you are facing, you know, the Angels deck, so.
The funny part is, I think Phoenix is not losing to the combo most of the time because the shock just beats that. As long as you hold the shock up, you're probably good. You're just losing to X4 flyers, basically. And them gaining like 27 life, and you're just you just can't kill them in time. Basically, you're using two collected company into really annoying to kill creatures. So that's what I'm looking to solve. That's why I'm playing more fries and rending volleys and stuff like this. But not sure if it's working yet.
Hey, Amit, can I call? Can I ask you real quick about some hosers and stuff? I'm also running a red deck right now for fun, and I have Redcap Malie in the sideboard, but like, what other good hosers, you know, for Phoenix, do you think would be good in this meta right now?
You mean that Phoenix can play or against
Phoenix? Yeah, something that Phoenix can play against like other decks in the meta.
So I've been recently maximizing. I was playing like my last list has 2 Fries, 4 Mystical Disputes, 3 Aether Gusts. I think Gust is insane in the format right now. It's good versus Niv Incarnation and the Bard deck. And I think Mystical Dispute is probably not great now. I think Mardin is literally the only one playing blue-black. Ort is doing well with it.
Yeah, he's propping it up for the whole format.
Carrying. I'm definitely carrying.
Hard carrying, yeah.
He's showing us the way.
But like exactly. Rending Volley and Fry seem really well positioned if you're looking to beat the Angels deck and Spirits. Both of which are popular, so I would look for these. And I'd like to mention Cleansing Wildfire. Like, if you have a spell slot to give to get rid of Mutavolts, like in the Angels deck, Cleansing is super nice. Especially if you're already playing like the Mono Red Ramp deck with Citadel and Cataracts, which are indestructible lands. So,
Okay. Should we? Do you want to say anything more about Phoenix? Should we give Martin a chance to?
No, talk Martin, a little go about... on.
Yeah,
Martin.
What decks have you been playing, Martin, and how have they performed?
Well, I've been playing, as you know, blue-black control, and I've been crushing with it, kind of. Well, my win rate's like, I think in the past 2 months, I've had like a 70% win rate with the deck in 40 matches, I think it was. So, in tournaments, so like all the challenges, the showcase challenge. Yeah, I basically, I top-8ed the showcase challenge. I top 4 twice in normal challenges, and then like the 3 other challenges I played, I top 16'd. I think I 0-2 dropped 1, but apart from that, I've like top 16'd 2, made the semis of 2 challenges, and then made the top 8 of the showcase challenge. So it's been doing very well. Like, I think for me with blue black, I feel like a lot of people just don't understand how to play the deck fully, and I think people try to play this tap out control version of the deck, which I just don't think is good. I think you benefit from the draw go aspect, but anyway. So with regards to the recent metagame changes, as Ekros said, you know, we've been finding Green White Angels to be a deck. I've lost to it in one of my win-ins. It was the same time it won the challenge. Zerk was playing it, but I didn't really know how to play. I didn't know what I was playing around, really. Since then, I found the matchup to be reasonable. Just kill the threats that matter. Obviously, try and disrupt the combo. But cards like the Righteous Valkyrie is like the main card. My opinion, Bishop of Wings and Righteous Valkyrie are like the two creatures that you care about the most. And because that gets the engine going of like making tokens, blah, blah, blah. And obviously Collected Company is a card you want to counter. But apart from that, it's been fine. Like post-board, they don't really have anything apart from like some Voice of Resurgence and Shaper Sanctuary. But the way I've configured my deck recently is playing like 3 Shadows Verdict in the 75. So, and 2 Kalitas as well. So I normally don't have too much of an issue dealing with those cards.
I was about to mention Verdict looking just insane against them, just wiping.
Shadow's Verdict just absolutely annihilates them. And Shadow's Verdict's back to being good again because Rakdos Pyromancer has been played a lot. It's good against, like, pardon?
Mono Black aggro, I guess.
Mono Black. It's okay against Mono Black. Obviously, like, Rankle and Spawn are awkward, but, like, Spirits Game 1's pretty good. They don't have hard counters anymore because they're playing Bant instead of Blue White. I felt like the deck's just been reasonably positioned. Also, the new deck, which I'll go on to discuss, is the red-green Bard class deck.
Here, before we jump into that, can I just quick throw a question to both of you guys?
Yep.
Is for your current decks, are there any new cards from the AFR set that you've been testing out in your deck? Any big changes from the new set? Just want to make sure we're calling them out when we see them.
Me personally, no. I mean, there's nothing that really...
No is a valid answer.
Yeah, I did try out Hive of the Eye Tyrant, like the manland. I think the manlands, you could maybe play one, but just because of... I rate Blastzone very highly in the deck. I think Blastzone is such a good utility land to have, and I think the mana is quite smooth in the deck that you don't need to use up all your lands as, you know, color sources. So between like Field of Ruin and Blast Zone, I prefer having them over the man land, the creature land, and yeah. So apart from that, I haven't really tried anything.
Okay, what about you and Phoenix across?
So for me, I haven't played anything you yet. I wanted to play Scorching Hands because...
Burning Hands?
Burning Hands, right, yeah. Because it actually kills, like, Surak from Niv. I've been looking for a 6 points burn spell for a while, but I think for now, Aethergust is significantly better. If we see a rise in, like, Mono Green Stompy, then I'm definitely trying that one.
Okay.
Yeah, otherwise, I haven't tried any other thing yet.
I had a quick question for Martin. I think last time I talked to you, maybe I don't know, like, I mean, I've talked to you online, of course, but I mean, like, last time we had you on for the show, I think you, I wouldn't say you were taking a break, but you were just kind of, like, trying out other formats. And what got you back into Pioneer? That's what I wanted to ask. Why are you playing again?
I think, ultimately, in my opinion, if you're a competitive player and someone like myself who wants to play like a challenge at the weekend, we'll play leagues, not too often, but we'll play leagues from time to time. I want to feel like I have like the most agency in my games of Magic, and I feel like Pioneer is the format that can potentially give you that. The format's diverse enough and underexplored, so you can try out new things. For example, I was playing like the Indomitable Creativity combo, normally played in Historic. I wanted to try it in Pioneer. And I was, you know, playing different decks like Jund Food, which I think is quite good in leagues because a lot of people tend to play creature decks or fast burn like aggro strategies, and the Jund Collective Company deck just absolutely like destroys those strategies. So yeah, I've always had like affinity towards Pioneer. I always find myself going back to it. I think I needed to explore other formats to find out like what I was missing. So yeah, it was basically like the realization that other formats, standard is very good but very stale.
It's like modern, you have a couple decks, right?
Yeah, modern is fun. I'd say modern is arguably more enjoyable than Pioneer, but you have less agency, and
you're not allowed to say that.
I know, but like,
just letting you know.
I'd like to note that I very much disagree on this, but I'll let it slide.
I'll block that out after this. I'll censor it.
But yeah, I don't know. I just the overall experience in playing Pioneer and competitive Magic is something I've always found enjoyable for over the past, you know, year and a half or however long I've been playing the format.
Modern seems like, you know, it's like a what deck am I going to play, whereas Pioneer is what deck can I make, or what deck, you know, do I want to play? Like, what's like the best deck, and that's what you're looking for in Modern, whereas here it's still, like you said, it's wide open. What do I feel like playing?
Exactly. There's still a lot of decks that I still think the format's underexplored still, even to this day. And Claudio as well, he's been trying out a bunch of different strategies that has been to reasonable success. And yeah, I think Pioneer's just a good place to be, a really good format. I just wish Wizards would acknowledge that.
Give us more support. Give us any support, I would say, because right now it's like zero.
Yeah, the fact that they went back on the introducing Pioneer to Arena was kind of a little bit disheartening, I'd say, but who knows. I think when Paper Magic comes back properly and they have paper tournaments for it, I think it will see a resurgence.
Yeah. Do you guys mind if we move on to the next topic? Can we talk a little bit more about the meta?
No, sure. Okay? We can do that.
You know, you talked about your decks. Now I want to hear, what have you guys played against a lot? So, of course, you know, we everybody can go online to, like, MTG Goldfish and see the top eights and stuff, but they don't see the decks that you guys face before you get to that top eight, you know, part of, like, the challenge or preliminary or something like that. So, like, can you give us an overall feel for the Pioneer meta online right now on MTGO? And also, like, can you give us some advice on what, like, decks people should maybe have on their radar? Like, maybe you don't see it in the top eight, but, you know, it has potential.
Yeah, I mean, basically, from my experience, the new red creature land, especially in leagues, if you're playing leagues, you'll expect to face a lot of burn. Burn's still there. I personally don't think burn is a good strategy, and I think that it does well in leagues, but not well in challenges, because I think when you have, I would argue, that higher level of opponents, you're going to see less success with the deck. I've seen a lot of the red-green Bard class deck. So do you all know how this deck works?
Yeah, let's talk about the deck some. You know, if you guys didn't listen to our Brew episode, where I definitely called that deck really early on.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true.
Feeling pretty good about that one.
Yeah, this deck. Sorry.
Yeah. Why don't you go in and explain a little bit about the deck, and we can talk some on it.
Yeah, no worries. So the deck's pretty sweet. It can be misleading. At first, you might think you're just playing against like a red-green aggressive strategy, and it does pull that guys off very well. But actually, what you're against is a storm deck. So basically, it revolves around the namesake of the deck, Bard class, which basically, if you're not familiar, it's a Gruul enchantment for green and red. It's a class enchantment. Basically, what happens is you can level it up. So when it comes into the battlefield, legendary creatures into the battlefield with an additional +1/+1 counter, you can pay red and a green for level 2, where legendary spells you cast cost red green less to cast, and level 3, you pay 5 mana, and it's whenever you cast a legendary spell, exile top 2 cards of your library, and you may play them this turn. So basically what the deck tries to do is obviously get Bard class down as soon as possible, level it up so that their Gruul spells cost red and green less to pay. They use Burgi, God of Storytelling, which whenever you cast a spell, add red mana. It doesn't empty from your mana pool till the end of turn. Or sometimes they play the Harnfell, Horn of Bounty, which allows you to discard a card, exile up to two cards from your library, and you can play those cards this turn. So it plays a bunch of legendary creatures, Burgi, one of the key ones, and it plays like Xenagos, the Reveler, Domri, Anarchopolis, to basically Domri Chaosbringer, and it plays like Mox Amber. So basically, you level up. Basically, the situation is you level up Bard class, play Burgi, you start like storming off because Burgi adds mana and your spells cost like a lot less to cast. And
it's insane.
Yeah, eventually they get Radda, Heart of Keld down. And
yeah, so Radda's one option. There's been Domri in some versions that can give something Raid to give it haste. But yeah, they have a few ways to give haste to things.
Yeah, they get Riot for haste, and Xenagos can add a lot of mana once your devotion's up high enough. So yeah, and you just get smashed. Like, they just storm off, creating an overwhelming board state, and hit you hard.
I'm scared.
Just yeah, you down. Should be.
It's fun.
You should be.
It's a great time.
They play really? Dom. Mm-hmm.
Should you what, be?
What turn does it go off, though? Like, third turn, fourth turn, fifth turn?
I can't remember off the top of my head. Ekros, can you remember?
I
bet you could theorycraft a turn 3, but I feel like that's a really rare. You know, 4 or 5.
Yeah,
probably.
I think it's like 4 or 5, and yeah. I think it's like 4 or 5, but that's like only if you draw Bard class.
Yeah.
Not a given in my like, spoiler alert, I don't believe this deck is good. Mostly because the card Aethergust exists. I don't see anyone winning a game after putting like 10 mana into their enchantment and just getting it gusted. That seems really bad to me.
I think it's also yeah. But I think that's a relatively niche scenario. Like, how many gusts are people playing in 75? Like, 2 copies?
I mean, I'm playing 3 in my sideboard. I have a Brazen Borrower in the main deck, and I'm planning to go up to 4, I think. I don't know.
No, that's fair enough.
I mean, also, Claudio's back on Abrupt Decay to get rid of this. People are gonna be prepared for, like, an enchantment, I think.
Mm.
Well, I think that's basically the metagame adapting, right? And I think, like, incidentally, yeah, because of other 3-mana enchantment being a big issue in the format that people want to not lose to, I understand. But I think the deck, if you don't respect it, can definitely deal some damage. I mean,
yeah,
it put a challenge top 8 last weekend. So I think, there were two top 16s the week before. So I think the deck's definitely worth noting and respecting. Yeah. Like you said, yeah, is it going to be tier 1? Maybe not quite, but it's definitely up there, I would say.
Just to be clear, I didn't mean that the deck is, like, unplayable. I just don't think it's going to be actual stay good. But when I say this, I mean, again, it's not going to be tier 1. It's definitely playable. It's definitely going to kill people. It has the element of free wins, which I really like in every deck I play. So, for sure. I just meant that, like, this deck is so easily answered and I think is a bit vulnerable because you only have, like, you can only play 4 copies of Bard Class, and without it, the deck is pretty bad. You're playing bad Gruul aggro, which wasn't, like, the best archetype to start with, so...
Yeah. I think one of them...
See, for me, I've really liked the deck. It's one I've been pushing, and mm-hmm. what I like about it is that you can play good Gruul aggro mm-hmm. and have a deck that looks good even when you don't have the combo. So I wasn't playing Burgi in mine. I could still, you know, turn through my entire library if I hit Bard Class level 3, but that's kind of the free win, mm-hmm. and if you don't have Bard Class, then you're just playing things like the Burning Tree Emissary, you can play Reckless Bushwhacker, you can play Ember Cleave, and just a bunch of aggressive red-green creatures, and that's a real deck. And I feel like the way to hate that is pretty different from the Bard Class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that, definitely. Yeah.
So Aether Gust is still great against the deck. I think that's probably the biggest thing holding it back is literally just the card Aether Gust
is busted.
But I think it's a very strong deck. I think it deserves the wins it's gotten. And I think there's still a lot of building to be done. Especially we have sort of seen people like splashing blue for like Song of Creativity in Standard. We've seen it here for like Counterspells in the sideboard in a version that won a challenge, it looks like. Or was that just a 5-0 list? Yeah, there's some variety still. I think that deck's still going to be brewed with a little bit, and there's some really cool ways to go with it.
I can definitely see the deck just being built better to play less meme cards and just play, as you said, the good cards like Elves and Emissary and stuff, and then maybe it's better. But the version I've been seeing, just been playing a bunch of like random cards, random legends. I don't like it, but I'm prepared to be wrong on this.
I think one thing to note is that you're going to sometimes get clogged up with multiple legendary creatures in your hand. Mm-hmm. So that's something that people maybe overlook. When you actually look at it, you know, you're playing 4 Burgi, 4 Galia, like 3 Zergo, like these cards are like multiple like planeswalkers. Like you are going to end up in situations where your hand is just clogged up with like 2 or sometimes 3 of the same card, and you're like, well, I can't carve out because I can't play more than one of these on the battlefield.
So again, that just seems like more testing is needed and more optimization.
Mm-hmm.
So that was your choice for decks that are kind of should be on everybody's radar, right, Martin? That's what you suggested. So, Emmett, how about you? Is there any other decks you think should be on people's radars during this next meta? Maybe people haven't seen it yet.
I mean, definitely the Gwynrod Angels deck. I heard it all over the leagues. I've been playing against it in challenges. The deck is good. So the Green-White Angels deck. But I also think people shouldn't forget about Ensoul and Enigmatic Incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
Both decks got new tools. I think Ensoul is not going to end up being very good. Because I don't think any of like the major issues are solved. But Incarnation was always on the brink of being tier 1 deck. And it might get there at some point. Now that we have new tools. I'm really not sure. I really hope it doesn't, too, because I don't like it. But
oh, no. I love that deck, too.
Oh, no.
Martin, what do you think about that deck, actually?
I really hate playing against it.
Yes.
I hate it so... It's so miserable because once the deck gets ahead, it's really, really hard to come back, from my perspective.
Hmm.
I think the deck is fine. Like, it's been putting up results, so I can't really, you know, not give it its dues. I mean, like, I put one top 8 and one top 16 in the last challenge, and the weekend before it put two top 8s and a top 16.
Mm-hmm.
And then again it put it won the challenge on the 10th of July and it put a top 16 there as well. So obviously the deck is putting in work, putting in numbers, so you can't like, you can't really say that it's not going to be, it's not like at least have a good enough strategy. I've had, overall I've found that I tend to beat it more than I lose to it. They do have some free win cards at post-board. Like, if they draw Thought Distortion, you just got to scoop. You're not, well, not necessarily, but you pretty much scoop them up when they do that. Like, that is a beat the control deck card for sure. Or sometimes if the incarnation does slip through, I tend to have a hard time dealing with it. So,
So just to play my role here and be the one who's talking about the new cards, is the card you're talking about that was added to this deck is the Moonblessed Cleric.
Yeah.
The 3/2 for 3 that puts a enchantment on top of your library. So this,
oh, it's on top?
Know, can chain, it can help you find your... it's on top. It's okay. Not to hand.
Mm-hmm.
But it still lets you find your incarnation for the next turn. And especially, you know, if you've already got, like, fires, it's not hard to put something on top and then, you know, cycle a Triome or something and immediately draw it.
Like that...
And as far as you're talking about in Soul, just want to... The Staff of the Black Deep, I think it's called, is the new card there, as well as Portable Hole. Both of those have been.
I haven't seen Portable Hole played that much, actually. I think it's a bit narrower. Like it's so misses a bunch of things we might have didn't consider beforehand, which makes it worse than I thought it would be, but yeah, the Staff is definitely the best addition to Ensoul. I played against it a couple of times. I don't know if the card actually adds anything that good to the... It's definitely improven for the deck. I'm not sure it solves the problem of, well, how are we beating push and pressure?
Mm-hmm.
I just like to point out that the Incarnation deck really suffered when it didn't draw either Fires or Incarnation. And the new card, I'll never remember the name, really helps you add consistency to your like bunch of one-offs deck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. It makes the deck, it smoothens, it takes the sting away from it being a Yorion deck. You essentially have, you don't quite have 8 incarnations or like however many fires, but you do have, you know, a way to tutor for them.
Mm-hmm.
Means you're pretty much... likely most games to have Incarnation on turn 4 if you really want. I think the deck is good. I mean, it doesn't just tutor for Incarnation, you know, you can get Omen of the Sea, like I said, fires, binding is very much like a toolbox wherever you need to deal with, you know, whatever threat is on the battlefield.
I mean, so the deck was already playing a bunch of like situational enchantments, now you get to tutor for them.
So basically, we should tell people...
You find your rest in peace, things like that.
Yes.
Yeah, too. Yeah. Makes the sideboard for the Yorion deck significantly better.
Exactly.
So people need to play Return to Nature again, you think?
We should all just have a gentleman's agreement that no one should ever play Incarnation, and we should be good.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, it's not my fault, because every time I play it, I run into the mirror match, so...
Oh,
so it's somebody else's fault.
Oh, my God.
That's
that sounds
karma.
Horrible.
Oh, it's a blast.
There's
some weird cards that are the mirror breaker.
It's a blast.
So any other decks? So, you know, we have like you said, we have Angels, we have Incarnation, we have Bard class. Any other decks you think should be on people's radar this season?
Go ahead, Martin.
I was gonna say, so not necessarily a new deck, but one that I think is consistently at the top right now is Rakdos Pyromancer, Rakdos Arcanist, and the deck is playing a lot of. They're playing 4 gold blanks in the 75, which for me is an absolute nightmare. Like, so hard to deal with that.
For me too.
I think the deck's like
So that's not a new card, but it's one that's been showing up recently. And yeah, we were calling this out before the show started that it's been a really interesting addition to a lot of lists. You know, I've seen it not just in Pyromancer, but that's the 3-mana discard 2 and it exiles their graveyard.
Yeah. Mm.
I'm a discard player and I like it. I approve.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, the deck's putting up results. So Strong won it last weekend won the challenge last weekend. The weekend before, I didn't put up any top 8s. It came two in the top 8 the 11th of July and a top 16 as well. So, and it won the challenge on the 4th of July, the showcase, and our teammate Alessandro Alimila 19 got a top 8 with Rakdos as well. Yeah, I know, it was really good. So yeah, the deck's turning up more and more, I'm finding, in this meta.
In general, I think you should still expect to see, like, if you're going into the queues, you're going to see Arcanist, Phoenix, Neve, Spirits, like all the usual suspects. Mm-hmm. They're not going anywhere. Everything is still here. So,
and Mono Black as well.
Yeah.
So let's use this topic. I think this is a good segue into my next question as far as like where the meta is going to be heading. So, you know, we talked about the decks that people should look out for. Those will probably be there in some number. You said Rakdos is going to be there. What's going to happen with the meta? Like, what kind of decks do you think will do well this season? Like, your decks, for example.
Don't sleep on Spirits. I feel like that hasn't gone away. It was a good deck. You know, Spirits, Niv, I feel like both haven't gone away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Don't forget about them because they're still great decks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. I actually think that it's possible we managed to iterate more on a bunch of like Omnath or Indomitable Creativity decks to make them good. And I said iterate because of expressive iteration, pun intended. Like, that's the shell I'm looking to test. I built a couple of Omnath decks. I want to see if we can play something that's not Jeskai Ascendancy. I think a Jeskai Ascendancy list with Ojutai top 8 at a challenge, which is sweet.
Mm. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you guys, I tried a Jeskai Ascendancy deck with Demi-Lich, and it was terrible, so...
That's a smart. That one. I like that idea, though. I mean, I really like it.
It didn't work, though. Yeah.
So I think that's like the shell that is the most looks most promising to me. Other than that, I'd say maybe some kind of mono white Book of Deeds deck could pop up. Something that plays Zorion, or maybe goes for like the devotion angle. I know Claudio was looking at some of the lists. I think even 5-0.
Yeah, he had a mono white one. I had a white black list. I also, let me see if I can find, there was one more mono white list that did place in a something or other.
Yeah, really cool. It came second, and it was Eldritch Moon Tribal. It was playing 4 copies of Thalia's Lancer, 1 Gisela the Broken Blade, and 1 Emrakul the Promised End. Yeah.
I love some of those cards.
I love them. I'm not really sure on the shell. I actually played this opponent in the Swiss, and I gave them the ... when they fetched for Emrakul the Promised End. Fortunately, I came out on top. But yeah, it was interesting to see that. And then, yeah, incidentally came second. Yeah, I think they split the finals most likely. I don't think the final got played out. But yeah, like, I mean, the shell's there. Like, this is something I'm thinking about. I think a lot of people will try and find the best build for Book of Exalted Deeds. I think that is something that will continue. The decks will evolve.
Mm-hmm.
I also think...
So I think the real gentleman's agreement is let's all agree to put Field of Ruin or some out to people's decks. Like, it's so easy being someone that judges... You know, I give a lot of deck feedback. If you guys have decks, send them to our Twitter. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Shout out. But I do a lot of deck feedback, and I feel like it's really easy to do my job right now because I just say, please add to Field of Ruin. Add a couple of some way to get rid of the Book of Exalted Deeds. Until we get rid of it, just give up those couple sideboard slots, whatever it takes. Like, please, guys.
Or, hear me out, we can ban white. This solves so many problems. We just
don't. I would ban blue. Come on.
No, come on. No chance. No chance.
Exclamation mark blue.
Also, no,
Island
no shade.
OP.
No shade to Maniac Engineer. Like, the deck's really interesting. I personally wouldn't go that route, but fair play. Like, that's what I like to see. People exploring testing out new cards, not even necessarily new cards, cards that haven't really been seen play. It's always good to see new takes on decks appear in top eights challenges. It's really good.
Mm-hmm.
So you're basically saying both, I mean, I don't know if you guys want to add any more to this. So basically this season, you're going to see a lot more people exploring the book decks. People are going to be playing the same old decks. As, I mean, Niv-Miz is going to continue to do well. Spirits will do well. Phoenix will probably stay the same. You don't think there's going to be too much change, just a couple new decks kind of breaking in. Is that what we can say about like the direction of the meta this season?
I mean, I feel like that's more than we can say for Strixhaven.
Nothing that's happened. True. I mean, we got some really good blue red spells, didn't we?
Oh, expressive iteration, right?
Yeah, Prismari Command. Yeah. Magma Opus didn't turn out well.
No.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe we can play Magma Opus with Omnath. Okay.
We could. I mean, Expressive Iteration is a really good magic card, and I hope to see more. I'm definitely going to try potential Omnath strategies, as I think Omnath is heavily underplayed. I mean, one of the best shells is 5-color Niv-Mizzet, but I just refuse to play that deck. Not even a rational decision. I don't know. It's just not my playstyle at all. So,
I agree.
It's like the same for me. Oh, sorry.
Go ahead.
Okay, so I just want to say, obviously, Niv is very good, and Claudio is just beating everyone with it, but I'm also religiously averting it just because it's really not my playstyle. I tried it like a couple of times. I keep timing out. I keep making mistakes. I'm just... not for me.
Yeah. But I was going to say, you talking about Claudio, we always have to be careful of the Claudio effect in Pioneer because... he's been throwing out random decks here and there. He's like, hey, I 5-0'd with this. I 5-0'd with this. I 5-0'd with this. And, the other day he had elves on there. And while we think that the metagame might go this way, all it's going to take is, one or two really good Claudio finishes to kind of send the entire meta into another direction, I think. And would you guys agree, disagree? What do you think?
Agree to an extent. Like, I definitely think Claudio... I think most of us have some form of influence in the format to an extent. I think Claudio probably has the most. And I think people always look up to Claudio. He is, by default, the de facto Niv-Mizzet player. And I think you should only really play Claudio's lists. I think there are better players than Claudio, of course. But I think Claudio has so much time and I have so much... faith in him that I think he almost always comes up with as close to an optimal list as you can get with 5-color Niv. That being said, he does try and play some interesting strategies, shall I say, but his skill level as a player is good enough that he can probably scrape some wins together regardless of how good the deck actually is.
He's like the John Finkel of MTGO.
We went deep with that one, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
I do think that the meta is not going to change. Like, Pioneer, at the end of the day, is an eternal format. I don't expect every new set to, completely shift everything. Mm-hmm. We did get, two new archetypes, at least, three other archetypes that were not played before got some really big improvements. I think the metagame is going to shift, slowly but steadily towards, something new. I mean, I've seen Bruninho play Burn with Skullcrack main deck.
Nice.
And that's probably really good for the Angels deck. And, people are going to adapt. Maybe Burn becomes better and then Vampires. And, the meta is still moving as it does in Pioneer all the time.
That's good. Yeah. I like seeing, formats. I like seeing all this change because that's one thing, of course, that standard kind of suffers from, like you said, it's just only a couple decks, doesn't really change. Modern, I feel like things usually have to get banned before big changes have to happen before big changes happen, where I feel like you can play Pioneer from the start of the season to the end of the season and play 3 or 4 different decks.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's just so much variation, there's so many choices, etc.
Just throwing it out there, by the way, if you're talking about like where the format might go, where the meta might go, then maybe we see some kind of like Fire's Agent deck back, because Agent stealing Mutavolt with a counter is pretty sweet.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
And Teferi, like 5-mana Teferi is just like a natural answer to like, you're never gonna deck. And you can at some point exile the Mutavolt, so like that deck could become a thing again. And then it pushes something out, and then something replaces it, and the meta is going to adapt. Hopefully.
Something for Martin to try.
Oh yeah, I mean, I'm definitely experimenting with Omnath and Expressive Iteration,
and Agent,
and maybe Agent. I mean, I really like the Jeskai Sensei shell is really good. The only issue I have is I feel like if you're not playing black, the removal's like really poor. In my opinion, like I think Portable Hold isn't the 1-mana spell you want, and I think all the burn spells are just not up to scratch either. And I don't want to play dragons to try and make a 2-mana removal spell playable. Maybe 5-color Neve is just the shell you want for
expressive iteration on that. If Agent becomes big again, I hope people name their decks Secret Agent Man.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, that'd be that interesting. That's so good.
This went right over my head. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Secret Agent, awesome. You know, like Bond or something, James Bond, you know. It's
oh, okay, that's just it? Okay.
You know, sorry. Some spy just comes and steals your secrets. Yeah. Anyways, next question, if that's okay. What decks or cards would you like to explore more this season? Maybe something... you know, something you're not playing now, but like, oh, this is like an interesting card. I think we already kind of touched on this a little bit. Like, Martin, I think you said, you know, you want to try a little bit more of, you know, what do we just say? The,
Omnath decks.
Yeah, the Omnath decks and stuff like that. Yeah, what other cards would you like to try out, or what other decks would you like to try out? And if you can focus on newer cards, that's cool. But otherwise, if any cards you think got better, you know, talk about that as well. So, what do you guys think?
Me personally, I think one card that I would like to see played going forward, maybe it's too early, maybe it needs another card or two, Demolish. But I think it's just not, the spells aren't efficient enough. I also like Lymurf, Desert Doom. I like that blue dragon. I think Dragons is close to potentially being a playable deck again.
Mm-hmm.
Playable deck, should I say.
Blue red dragons?
Blue red or blue black, like the Ebon Death Dracolith might be good enough. You know, like,
I never considered like the blue black dragon shell. I think blue black can benefit significantly from having a good 2-mana counter spell, which is exactly Scorn. So that's interesting. Just a thought pop, yeah.
Yeah, and the Dragon Turtle was a very nice addition, because having a low-cost dragon that's playable is one of the main draws, because the deck suffered before it because all your dragons were 5 and 6, so you just had really clunky like finishers, and you didn't that you had to play sorcery speed, but the Dragon Turtle is more mana efficient and probably good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I
mean, at the very least, it's a flash threat. Like,
exactly.
It's like half a removal spell, half a flash threat. It's kind of like a Brazen Borrower to an extent.
Yeah.
That seems
intriguing.
Yeah. So, like, I think, I'm trying to think of creatures that it could... It trades up in, like, you know, most of what Phoenix has. It trades up in mana. It's kind of hard, although it does get done by Lightning Axe. But I believe the effect still works, even if it's been killed when it enters the battlefield.
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So
yeah,
it'll still
work.
It still does. I mean, again, I don't think the creature is like anything special, but I think it might be good enough, given the thing you care about the most is the CMC to an extent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, dragons. I can't really think of anything else. Like, Tasha's Hideous Laughter is a nice one. I'm wondering like how close Mill is to being playable.
I was thinking about that one, but given the fact that decks are playing Dig Through Time and Treasure Cruise, I mean, I don't
know. Yeah, high CMC cost spells, and they also take it. This is why Drown the Lock I don't think is good in Pioneer, because there's too many spells that take advantage and can counter it on the stack at instant speed, like Dig Through Time. And Treasure Cruise, like, it's just hard for your... It's hard to get a critical mass of...
15 cards in the graveyard that you need for Cruise.
Exactly. Huh. So...
I mean, sometimes you can't even get a Kroxa with a Drown in the Lock, which is...
Exactly. Really Kroxa as well is another one. There's just a lot of issues with Drown in the Lock in this format.
Emmett, how about you? Any Dex cards you want to explore more?
So I hope I'll get to Demolich at some point. Like Martin said, I don't think it's quite good enough, but I want to try it. Definitely want to give a try to some kind of like Mono White Devotion deck with Book of Exalted Deeds. I think that combo is just too good to ignore. So I need to try it out. And I kind of want to try and maybe try and build another Kroxa deck, like another Rakdos deck.
Different version, I tried it like in mid-range, the
past. I mean, just something that doesn't have to play Young Pyromancer, because that card sucks. In my opinion, at least. I really don't like it. So, just like take the Thoughtseize push, Kroxa, Arcanist Shell, and try and like fit it into somewhere else. Maybe I need to wait for better mana for Grixis, I don't know. But
yeah,
I just want to explore that. Maybe play Scourge, maybe play a more aggressive show, maybe not play Lurus, I don't know. Just try it out.
Unexpected Windfall is another card that could really help. That card could really help the Indomitable Creativity plan, because it's at instant speed.
Yeah, we were talking about some Indomitable Creativity before you jumped on. I wouldn't mind showing you my... I was messing with a teamer version.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, sure. where are you sharing it?
Oh no!
Oh yeah! All right. Okay. Claiming right now. Yeah. Feel free to send it, and I'll take a look, because I'm definitely interested in developing the plan with the combo in mind. So with Sage of the Fells and the Locust God, I really like that plan.
Kevin, how about you? Any decks or cards you want to explore this season?
Oh, you know, I'm always brewing things. Like, I don't mind the idea of looking at some of the equipment cards. I've tried a bunch of things that have failed with Demi-Lich. Like I said, I have been trying some creativity, been trying some book, been trying some zombies, been trying a lot of Bard decks, Mono Green Stompy, Mono White Humans.
You have so much more time.
A few things. we could do a brew list and I'll throw a bunch of janky you guys again, but nothing that's been too crazy. I'll probably stick with Bard class and this zombie deck for a little while, because both of those I've got the cards for. Have a little fun.
Gotcha. Yeah,
sounds good.
I'm going to play Goblins this season. I'm exploring Goblins. So much fun.
I'm excited for Goblins and Zombies. Like,
yeah, I got so much potential.
Also, Rakdos Colors. Let's go.
You do Rakdos Goblins. Get some of that stuff from Return to Ravnica, right?
God, but... I don't know. I'm really bad at sets, really.
Okay, so I think that pretty much wraps up, you know, my topic, unless you have anything else to talk about, Kevin. Can we do like a power rankings maybe to finish up today? Does that sound good? Like tier one,
maybe a real quick one, yeah, something like that.
What are the tier one decks? You know, what are the tier two decks?
I almost prefer not at this point, just because it's so early in the season that it's hard to, you know, we don't want to be saying like, guys, don't play this deck because it's not good. It's really hard to call that right now. I think we've named a lot of what was big. Anything that you guys feel like we've missed? You know, maybe Mono Black deserves a mention. I don't think we talked about that at all. Don't think it got anything new, but it's been showing up a reasonable number.
Mono Black is the junt of the format.
Yeah, I think it's
it's both good and bad. I was gonna say it's Schrodinger's deck. It's both good and bad.
Yeah. It's like, I like that Jund, like the Jund of the format used to mean that it's the deck that has like a 55% win rate against every single deck in the format. Yeah. That's what, you know, Jund used to be in Modern, and now Jund of the format means that it's the deck that seems like it should be good, but it has to work so hard for every single win that it's almost not worth it.
Or it's
that's the new meaning of Jundo the format.
I was gonna say, or it's always, or it's super good, or it's just like super hated out.
No, yeah. I'm more with Kevin on this. I'm like, you have to work so hard, and then you end up with like 51% win rate or something like this.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, right?
Just get your free wins with another deck.
Agreed. Although I play blue white control, so I don't know how much that my opinion holds merit there, but.
I mean, I just like, if I can do a like fast recap of what I think is,
yeah, fast quick, like, recap's great.
All the contenders are still there. Like, you're gonna play, don't underestimate Bant, Niv, Bant Spirits, Niv, Phoenix, and I'm missing something.
Arcanist, no.
And like Burn Arcanist, yeah. But you can definitely explore things like the Angels deck. Is probably close to its like final form, but you can still explore more bookshelves. You have Incarnation and Bards, which can probably be built better. And then Omnath is probably seven more decks you can try. So,
yeah,
like, you have options, but you don't have to innovate if you want to compete. You don't have to stick to the old decks if you want to compete. You have a bunch of options.
Mm. How about you, Martin? Anything you want to add or add?
Casually forget about blue black control. Don't agree with that. I think yeah, I agree. Like Spirits, Phoenix, and after like, well, I'm not gonna go with what I think is the best, but like according to MTG Goldfish, like Spirits holds 10% of the meta. Then you've got Phoenix, Niv-to-Light holding between 8 and 9%. You've got blue-black control in third with just under 7%, then black with 6.5, exact same as like Rakdos and Burn. And then you go into some like the more niche decks or new decks. So like, yeah, like mono red aggro, Lotus. Lotus is always going to be around. I don't know what it is with Lotus players, but you know someone plays Lotus because you go into their MTG Goldfish history and it's only Lotus, nothing else.
Yeah. There you go.
If you play Lotus, you really play Lotus. And then you've got, yeah, of course, Angels, Fires. And we didn't touch enough on Jeskai Ascendancy, in my opinion. I think that deck is very well built because it utilizes three of the most powerful cards, Omnath, Expressive Iteration, and Treasure Cruise. And yeah, I think along with Insole and some of the other newer decks. So that's what it's looking like just now. May change.
All right.
I think that's going to bring us to the end of our show. Thank you guys all for listening, and thank you both for joining us on the show. This was a lot of fun. I think this is a good recap of what's going on in the meta in this new, brand new AFR season. Been a lot of fun to play so far. Been a lot of fun watching people play. Hopefully you guys both get a chance to do some streaming, get a chance to do some playing, and all of our listeners out there, hopefully you get a chance to play some Pioneer, the best format in Magic. If you want to keep up to date with what's going on in Pioneer, the best place to do that is to follow us at MTG Pioneer on Twitter.
Of course, our Discord channel as well will be linked in our Twitter. Also, you guys can find me at Yoshwenky, Yoshwenky on Twitter as well if you want to chat or discuss. But yeah, hop on into the Discord, come on in and join the discussion. Love to hear your thoughts on the meta, what you think's up and coming, what you think needs to be beat, etc., etc. Who wants to go first? Martin? Emmett?
You can find me on EkerosMTG, that's EkerosMTG. I stream 4 times a week, so find me on Twitch, and I tweet a bunch of nonsense. So check that out if you want to see some Pioneer gameplay.
Yep. All right. And you can find me, Harry13, at Harry13SEO, that's Sierra Charlie Oscar, on Twitter, and it's the same handle for Twitch. I occasionally stream a couple of times a week. Normally it will be weeknights, roughly around 6 p.m. UTC. And if you're looking for other Pioneer content, such as competitive deck building, you can find Ekros and I at TAC, that's Tango Alpha Charlie Team 9. And that is our team page. And we also offer a Patreon, where if you want to get up-to-date sideboard guides and Pioneer and deep dives, as well as other formats, include with players such as myself, Ekros, and Claudio, as long as a host of other talented players, feel free to check that out also.
Very cool.
Yeah, highly recommend.
All right,
that's going to bring us to the end of our show here. Thank you one last time for joining us. We are the First Pioneers Podcast, the one and only podcast all about the Pioneer format. We look forward to being your go-to source for Pioneer information online. Slinging out, because that's apparently our catchphrase now. All right, that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you guys so much.